Episode 273 of The Pilot. The Pilot Podcast takes off now.
Fly with Garmin Avionics, then grab your mobile device and make the Garmin Pilot app your cockpit companion. Get advanced functions you'll use before, during, and after every flight, including updating your aircraft's databases and logging engine data. Plan, file, fly, log with Garmin Pilot.
The Pilot to Pilot Podcast is brought to you by Learn the Finer Points Ground School app. There's a brand new iPhone version where you can subscribe for less than $50. Check out the new Mock Oral and you can prepare for your next check ride. Go to your app store and search Ground School and download the app today. This episode is brought to you by Bose Aviation. Elevate your flying experience with a new Bose A30 Aviation headset. It features the best combination of comfort, audio clarity, and noise cancellation on the market. And with 20% less clamping force than the A20, the three modes of active noise cancellation, the A30 was designed to strip away distractions so you can focus on the freedom of flight. Quiet the noise, amplify the experience, explore the A30 aviation headset at bose.com/A30. Aviation, what is going on? And welcome back to the Pilot to Pilot Podcast. My name is Justin Seams and I am your host. Today's episode isn't Ask Me Anything. I have just recently thrown up a couple questions for you guys to ask me. So I put up a question box, said, hey, ask me any question you want and we'll answer on the podcast. And we have quite a few to choose from. So shout out to y'all for answering in the last 2 hours, but it's going to be a good one. I haven't flown in almost 21 days. It's been great. I'm not going to lie. Life on the road has been pretty exhausting and it's just been a lot. So it's been good to have some time off. And arguably one of the best parts of my job is the amount of time off that you can get. I just crossed my 5th year here. So now I'm starting my 6th year and I get another week of vacation. So I will have 3 21-day vacations throughout the year. I got a bit of through seniority, but it is awesome. And then there's also, once you cross 10 years, you get your 4th week. So by the end of 10 years, you have 4 weeks of 21 days off, which is pretty great, as long as you're on the 7-7 schedule. So it's pretty awesome. But anyways, without any further ado, here's an Ask Me Anything. All right, here's a question. Are you staying in the Latitude for your captain upgrade? And when is Big Earn coming on? Two-part question. First part, yes, I'm staying in the Latitude. That was really important to me because I like the Latitude for one. It's a very comfortable airplane. I've been on it for almost 6 years now, which is absolutely incredible. The Garmin Avionics is the best part about that airplane. I honestly don't want to fly a plane without Garmin. So as of right now, that leaves me with the Latitude and the Longitude. My seniority won't be able to hold the Longitude for a few years. So I decided to go in the Latitude. One of the pluses for staying in the Latitude is at our company, you have a seat lock whenever you go to a new aircraft and you get a type rating. With me going from right seat in the Latitude to left seat in the Latitude, I no longer have a type rating. So let's say the Longitude opens up in a year or two, I can jump ship and I can go there. Or let's say they announce some new sick global with Garmin 5000 or Garmin 10,000, whatever it may be. I can also go there as well. So I don't have to wait around and I'm not just kind of subjected to a date of when I can bid out. I can bid out whenever I want. And I'm pretty excited about that. Are you going to any aviation events this year? Yes, I always make a point to go to Oshkosh. I've been going for the last 5 years? I don't know. Some amount of years that I've been going there. My schedule right now, I actually work over Oshkosh. So I got to get a little creative and hoping that I can go ahead and do that and get that time off. So yes, I'm planning to go to Oshkosh, hoping to do some events with Bose, hoping to do some events and meet and greets with Garmin, Jason Miller from Learn the Finer Points, RAA, maybe another live podcast. So make sure to be on the lookout for those. We'll be posting some more information soon. Does which base you choose affect how much FTP you get on a tour? So this question is very specific to my company. One of the main ways to make money is called FDP, flight duty pay. And it's exactly as you think it is. You get paid extra for the amount of time that you fly. So it's an incentivization for you to go fly, essentially. The way it is set up is after you fly 10 hours in a week. So let's say I'm out for a 7-day tour. By day 3, I'm starting a flight that's going to be, I'm getting to the 12-hour mark, the 14-hour mark, whatever. Anything after 10 hours, you make $148. It might have gone up by now, but it hasn't gone up by much. It's $148 an hour for every single flight hour you fly over 10 hours. Now, what's great about that is sometimes you get really lucky and you can make a ton of money. I'm talking like doubling your paycheck and just insane amount of money. But What's not good about it is you have no choice or no say. You can't bid it. It's all kind of just up to the company to give you that flight time or give you the schedule or hope that it works out or hope your plane hasn't been in maintenance and you're not just sitting around. So it varies a lot. I am luckily on a fleet where we get pretty good FDP, although my last three or four tours and honestly this whole year has been pretty bad for flight duty pay. So whether it's unlucky or not, it usually tends to equal out by the end of the year. But it's funny, you really get kind of frustrated on the weeks that you're not flying a lot because, you know, that's a big chunk of change in your paycheck or college or Emmett or whatever it may be. So it can be frustrating sometimes. So contract negotiations are going on. I'm not really going to get into that much, but we're hoping for some good changes there. This one's from my buddy Matt. What's up, Matt? Emmett being a pilot, when he grows up, are you going to encourage it, discourage it, or is it up to fate? I don't know. So there's two parts of me. I would love to have an airplane and have Emmett grow up around aviation. I'm never going to push it on him. I honestly, truly, and I hate to say this, but I don't know if he will be in a position where aviation will be a full career for him. With the way aviation and automation's coming up, AI, anything like that, I'm not sure if it's going to be a viable option for him to make a living off of anymore. So that kind of worries me, but I definitely want him to, if he shows interest, to get his private, get his instrument, get his commercial, if that's something he wants to, and either fly for fun. I mean, think about just going to Oshkosh with him when he's older would just be unbelievable. Having him on the podcast would be cool to talk aviation. Maybe he takes it over one day. You know, just like there's so many cool things that could happen there. And it's the same thing with football. For most of you know, I played football at Ohio State. I'm not going to push him to play any sports that he doesn't want to. If he wants to play football, great. But by all means, I'm not going to be that dad that pushes him to follow my footsteps or to do that. But I probably would push him more to do aviation than football, to be honest with you. But we'll see. It would be really cool to have a fourth generation pilot in the family, even if that just means we have a cub and we fly around and just kind of hang out and have some fun, go to the beach. Or if it means maybe he can still be an airline pilot, that would be cool. Are you planning on upgrading to a bigger jet in the future? Absolutely. I mean, my main goal would be to fly the Global, the Gulfstream, whatever it might be. I would just absolutely love to fly to Paris, to fly to, I don't know, Bali, to fly to Tahiti, to fly anywhere in the world. I think that'd be really cool. There's also downsides to that. We are an on-demand charter company, so not charter company, 135-91-91K. So it can get a little bit insane in that world where you're going to be tired constantly. Not fatigued, tired, but you're just going to be behind the clock. So you're not getting the 36 hours off that you get an airline when you get those jobs. So, but I would definitely like to do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun to go see the world and hopefully, enjoy it. Other than the podcast, do you have any other side hustles and hobbies that you recommend? Recommend for me, that's tough right now. My main goal is to be the best husband and dad that I can be, and podcasts will come after that. But it's truly just that every once in a while, I'll try to make my grass not look like it's dying and try to keep up with the neighborhood. You know, I'm a suburban dad now, so got the fresh New Balances on with the Honda mower, and I'm trying to step up my game. Shout out to Sunday.com for helping me out with that, or GetSunday.com. But I honestly don't have much time for anything else. We're looking into some daycare options for Emmett so I can have a couple hours in the day when I am home. But it'll probably get back into shape. It's been tough the last year or so, just with my time being, just don't have much extra time. So probably working out, getting in shape, I think that's very important for overall health and also for your wealth and also for your job and career, because it keeps the medical up, keeps you healthy. So probably I'd say working out. Best advice for a new hire at your company? My best advice is to not worry about where the contract negotiations are right now, to find out what you truly want to do, whether that is fly this side of aviation or fly 121. Because right now, 121, they're getting signing new contracts. It looks great. It looks like it's something you want to do. It's not always a great idea to chase the money. Yeah, I mean, maybe it is now, but historically that is not the case. It's usually best to kind of stay somewhere, build that seniority. And usually, whether we're behind or whether we're not, we're falling behind, or we're eventually going to get there with the money or the quality of life. I would highly recommend that you figure out what you like. If you like the 121 flying, if you want to do that, then by all means, you need to head out, because the chances of you making the same money here as it is there are probably pretty slim. Now, can it get closer? Yes. Can the quality of life get better? Yes. But will it be the same? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. But also there's some trade-offs to that too. We have different schedules. We have vacations up to 21 days. You get back-to-back vacations. I don't know. It's truly a hard time right now to tell someone what to do and what to come here for, other than just figure out what you actually like. If you like the flying we do, if you truly like not knowing where you're going to go, then I think you should stay here and you should not go to an airline. You should really love it and just be here for the long run and try to make this the best job that you can possibly make. And that's by following your union and doing pickets or just doing whatever you can to really improve this company. So I would recommend that you figure out what you actually like and you enjoy it, because it is a great job and it can be a lot of fun and it can also be very tiring. But it's at the end of the day, it's a job. And you got to make the best decision for your family and for you and figure out what works best for you guys and go from there. Hopefully that answers your question. This one's from my buddy, Captain Joe. Joe, he's saying, how are you dealing with the upcoming Borussia Dortmund championship victory? Joe, we, as in Bayern Munich, have won probably, I don't know if it's factual, but I have to say it has to be the last 10, maybe more, in a row. It is only right for Bayern Munich, the greatest football team in the history of football. Yes, football, F-U-T-B-O-L, I think that's how you spell it, to let someone else win it every once in a while. You know, it's no fun for the Bundesliga to have Bayern win every single year. I truly believe this was the year that the whole country came up and was like, hey, we need this to be competitive. Bayern, please lose. And they're like, we'll make it close. Because let's be real, we're the better team. I proved it when we went to Munich. Christine and I went to go see it live and we could have won 10-0, but I'm pretty sure they're like, just win 6-0 or 6-1, whatever, 4-1. So Joe, enjoy it. If it happens, you still have to win and we still can win. So good luck, buddy. I'm rooting for you because it's been a while. Currently sitting in training for the Latitude at your company. What should I expect out of the Latitude? A phenomenal aircraft. They built this plane for what feels like our mission specifically, and it is a great airplane. Highly recommend it. It's a great first jet too. We're hiring a lot of people with no jet time, which is as crazy it might sound, but it's a great first jet to get on. You're going to get a lot of cool experience. Trust the numbers. This plane can stop on a dime, whether it's wet, whatever it is. This plane is a true beast. It is slow though, so just get used to that. You're going to be cruising pretty slow. You're going to be doing some rough rides as well. It does not ride turbulence to the best. A lot of questions about changing fleet. I think I answered that one. Thoughts in the new Cessna Citation Ascend. I mean, this is me speaking personally on pilot to pilot, no affiliation with a company, no affiliation with my employer, but I truly think it's time to let the XL go. I mean, it's just flat out. And I know they have a flat floor, no pun intended with the flat out, but I think the Latitude essentially should be that market. If you want another smaller plane, improve the Mustang, make it a little bit bigger, maybe bring the Sovereign back. I don't know. I guess Sovereign's bigger, so don't do that. But I think the XL has kind of had its fair share of a run and it needs to kind of go away. Is it a great plane? Sure, possibly, but I just think you can't beat what the Latitude can offer. I don't know the price differences. The flat floor, like I said, is going to be the most appealing way. But if the passengers like it and the XL has been such a well-selling airplane that I think a flat floor might just keep that thing going and it's like a 737 where it's never going to stop and it's only either going to get bigger or taller or whatever it may be. But if it was me, Latitude would be that airplane. I'd improve the Mustang and the Denali, and then that would be kind of my small to entry-level jets and turboprops, and then I'd go from there to the Latitude, the Longitude, and come out with some baller airplane to go against Gulfstream and Global, because that's truly where they're missing out on. So that's what I would do. But hey, if you like it, love it, go for it. Man, people are killing me with FCB, Bayern stuff. Why is Bayern so terrible at soccer? Hey, Jordan, this is my buddy who is at Delta. He's a captain and he is just trying to show how great he is and talk about this. Barcelona's terrible. Get out of here, man. Man, lots of questions about this too. With all these union negotiations happening, how are you handling it with your company? Truly, again, this is not me. I'm not going to come on here and bash the company. Do I love my job? Yes. Do I recommend this job right now? It's a tough question. I can't make that answer. I can't make that assumption for you. And I can't tell you yes or no. It goes back to what I said earlier, where you truly have to think about what you want in a career. Are you willing to wait? We could get a new contract 6 months. We could get a new contract in a year. Am I willing to wait? I don't know. At one point, the money is too appealing, but this is what I truly like to do. This is the lifestyle that I like. So I kind of go back and forth. It's like, do I chase the money or do I stay here? And right now I think staying here is the best decision for me and for my family. The most important thing, you take one flight at a time. So you take care of your owners, you take care of your customers, no matter anything that's going on between the company and the union, that never enters the cockpit, that never enters a flight. When you step onto the ramp, it's game time. You fly this plane, you take care of the owners, and you treat them as well as you possibly can. You treat everyone with respect, and you kind of just do what you need to do and listen to your union and try to get the best contract possible. But we all want a job. We all want to stay here. We would all like to stay here. And I think that's the best way to go about it. So hopefully it can end soon, but we'll see.
Let's take a break from today's episode and hear from our sponsor, RAA. Hey, Justin here. And look, investment planning is complicated stuff. That's why my partners at RAA created a free virtual workshop where their airline specialized advisors will answer the top four investment questions people in the airline community are asking today. Like how to make the most out of cash on hand strategies for asset allocation, Roth conversions, and more. There are two dates to attend, May 23rd and May 25th. Join from home, between flights, or wherever it's convenient for free. It's RAA's Virtual Investment Planning Workshop, May 23rd and May 25th. Register today at raa.com/events. And now back to today's episode.
What's your go-to Creole meal number? I don't memorize numbers, but anything from Bedford. Shout out to Bedford, Massachusetts. Your crew food is the best crew food in the world. I'll say it because I don't go many places in the world. Maybe Cabo. That's pretty cool too. Their food is pretty great. Not big Cabo, but the small Cabo. Enchiladas, unbelievable. But Bedford, Mass, whatever you're doing, everyone needs a copy at Rudy's. I hope someone from Rudy's or Culinaire is listening to this podcast. Go to Bedford, order the food, and see what it is. But anything from Bedford is amazing. Do you still recommend becoming a pilot in 2023? Absolutely. Do you finally see how much money you can make as a pilot and how fast you can do it? We are hiring people with the bare minimums that you need. And when I say bare minimums, you're still safe to fly these airplanes. It's within the regulations, so it's not a knock on anything at all. But you finally have the opportunity to be a CFI, get to 1,000 hours and fly big jets and go live the world. You don't have to have 5,000 hours before you get hired by Delta. It's truly amazing. Go do it. Get your hours as fast as you can and enter this great career. Would you recommend your company with everything going on? I think I kind of spoke on that already. What was my first job? My first job was at a Christmas tree farm when I was 18 years old, and it was probably my favorite job I ever had in my life. But I'm guessing you're talking about aviation jobs. So it was aerial survey, and I loved some of the guys there. But it was probably the worst job I had in my life. And I say that because I just needed to build time. It was in a different generation. It was only 10 years ago, but it was truly, not even 10 years ago, it was only like 7 years ago, but it was truly the best job to build time at that moment. Would I do it again? I don't know. I had some unfortunate experiences where I had an engine failure in 206, landed on the side of a mountain. It sounds more dramatic than it is, but technically it was a mountain or a crazy hill, whatever you want to call it. So it was just a lot of maintenance experiences that wasn't my favorite. But yeah, that was my first job. Second job, 135, on-demand cargo pilot. Also not a great job, but it got me to where I wanted to go. So at the end of the day, it worked out. Are you going to interview more AMPs? Have I ever interviewed an AMP? That's a good question. Yeah, let's do it. I've always reached out to Chelsea, but I haven't heard anything back for her. So if you're listening to this, come on, let's go on the podcast. Let's do it. How do you stay focused while harboring such a deep obsession for the Piaggio? It's just easy by now. You know, it's just like who I am as a core human being. My core principles is just the Piaggio is terrible and ugly. And if anyone thinks that, we just can't be friends. So it's just, it is what it is, you know? I love Italy and I would love to go visit there. But if I see a Piaggio, I'm going away. What do you think would keep people on the 91, 91K, 135 side from leaving to 121? Whew, I don't think we have enough time to talk about this, nor do I have all that information, because if you think about it, at the end of the day, if all things are equal, let's say 91, 91K, 135, every single company offered the same quality of life and offered the same money as an airline, you would still have a good majority or a majority of the pilots leave for the 121 world. And they do that because historically, those have been the best jobs. Now, there would be people that would stay and there would be people that go, but you're always going to have those pilots that are going to be leaving to go to a 121 carrier just because big metal is more than likely always going to win. I think they need to come close. They don't even need to pay the same, because the one good thing is that they don't have to hire 14,000, 16,000, whatever they're, how many pilots they have in the seniority list. You know, it's relatively small. Some fleets, some corporate flight programs, they just need to hire 6 pilots, 8 pilots. So can you offer a good enough salary, quality of life, other perks to keep them there? Then I think that you can do that. Maybe some companies are going to have to go above and beyond and think outside of quality of life. Think outside of actual salary, but think about perks that you can offer. I mean, what does your company do? Are you a golfing company? Can you do sick golfing trips? Can you do other things? If you're into the housing market, can you help them with their, I don't know, like things like that. They might have to get a little bit more creative and think about ways to keep people. It's going to get tough. I mean, this is just the beginning. Outside of a crazy recession and outside of a crazy just doomsday event, kind of like COVID. I think that it's going to be really hard for 91, 91K, 135 to keep pilots from going to 121 if all things are considered. So I think creativity is going to be needed and even maybe exceeding the pay and exceeding the quality of life just to try to keep all the pilots to stay. Advice to a new pilot who just recently started ground school. My number one thing that I would recommend is to go all in. Seniority is huge. You can kind of switch companies now. We have seen it some, but get it all done as fast as you can. Go all in. This is not going to stay this way forever. This crazy high that we're on right now after following a crazy low, it's not going to be like this forever. So if you can get on with the company as soon as possible, then do it. Whether that's getting your private commercial, just hunkering down, going to that fast track program for training, just go for it. Get it done so you can get into this gig and into this game as fast as possible. Now enjoy it too. Don't go so fast where you're not going to enjoy your life. And also make sure you have some kind of life outside of flying, but truly, truly try to get it done as fast as possible. How do you pack for a 7-day trip not knowing what climate you'll go to? It's almost impossible, honestly. Every single trip, I've always forget something. I am a terrible packer, probably because I wait till the last second. What's crazy is I'll be in Bermuda, I'll be in the Cayman Islands one tour, and I won't have sandals, won't have a swimsuit, won't even really have shorts. So the next tour, I'll be like, all right, cool, I was in the island, so I'm going to pack sandals, I'm going to pack shorts, a bathing suit, and then I'm in Jackson Hole, and I forgot my jacket, and it's going to be negative 20 degrees, so I look like an idiot, and I don't even leave the hotel. So it's truly hard. I mean, I have an away bag, and I wish I had a bigger bag outside of having to carry that around, but yeah, it's tough, to be honest with you. A lot of times I just keep the same clothes in that bag and I always have one thing for one certain climate, whether I'm wearing tennis shoes on the beach, which doesn't look great, or just going barefoot. It is what it is, as long as I can have some sort of comfort in all kind of climates. What's the best part of being an aviation dad? Well, Emmett really isn't. Oh, I take that back. He's starting to pick up airplanes and kind of go through the air and go whoo and whoosh. So it's actually really cool to see him do that. Like I mentioned before, I'm not going to push this career on him. I'm not even going to force him to get into aviation, but I would love to raise him around an airplane, to raise him around aviation and see what he would like to do. And I think it kind of goes for anything that my kid or kids, who knows in the future, goes after with all their passion and with all their might, I'll be super proud. Whatever it is, whatever they'd like to do. So except for play football at Michigan, that's just not possible. But yeah, I would hope to see that. That'd be really cool. All right, what else we got? What's your stance on needing / not needing college degree for aviation? This has rapidly changed since I started the podcast as well. I still highly recommend you get a college degree, whether you get your hours, you get on with Delta, whatever it is, and you do a 4-year degree program online while you're already at your career. But it is so important to have a backup plan. You don't even need to go to college. Just have some, like, not even real estate, but do something that you can fall back on, construction or plumbing, or, I mean, those are kind of just very specific skills that came to my head for some reason, but just have something that you can fall back on in the case of bad times. Because like I said, this is a career of highs and lows, and we're in a strong high right now, and no one thinks it's ever going to come crashing down. But there is a good chance that this is not going always going to last this way. Do you ever consider going to a major airline? Every day, every single day. And I say that because the money, and we've talked about this before, it gets tough, but I mean, there are definitely pluses to the major airline side. Now, can I see myself being happy over there? Yes. Do I think I would, if everything was the same, I'd be happy where I am right now? Absolutely. But I kind of mentioned it before, at some point, the money and the lifestyle and the retirement becomes too much to say no to. Now, how long do I wait? I don't know. We'll figure that out. Right now, I just try to figure out what's best for my family in the moment, and that is staying here, and even for a career right now, that is staying here where I am right now. But doesn't mean we can't fight to make this place the best possible place we can possibly do it. But as I said, I love this job. I love working here. I want it to be the best job in the aviation and want to figure out how to make that happen. So Aviation, those are all the questions I have today. Thank you so much for listening to this Ask Me Anything. If you ever have any questions, make sure you're following Pilot the Pilot on Instagram. I should do these more often. I haven't done one of these in forever. So shout out to that. Keep sending your questions and I'll save them for the next podcast. Aviation, that's all I got for you today. As always, happy flying.